So that's where our scripture reading will be this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I will be reading verses 2 through 4, if you want to follow along. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 4. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing your mind of work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you just for your word, Father, for how true it is, for how just how it is for us, Father. There's so much in there for us to take part and obey and be blessed by when we do obey it, Father. And we just, as we sung this morning about just such love that you had, Father, to reach down and pick us up out of the overwhelming waves, to wash us clean from our sin, Lord, and just to bathe us with your love and your grace and mercy. Father, it is truly amazing. It is just mind-blowing. And Father, Lord, I thank you for that this morning, and I pray for Pastor Craig now as he brings your message to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On the first Sunday of every month, we have communion here at River Valley Bible Church. Communion is the term that the modern church calls it. We had it here last week, and the main purpose of communion is for us to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. Essentially, we are remembering our own salvation. We're remembering what God has done in our life since that point in time and resuming our communion with him. Perhaps that is something that you remember and thank God for more often than our once a month corporate participation. I hope you do, and rightly so. But how often do we remember and thank God for the salvation or even sanctification of others? Even those who have been saved a while, maybe our parents, maybe our grandparents, maybe that person who led us to the Lord, maybe our children, maybe our grandchildren, maybe our friends, or just people that have been a simple acquaintance. Mark was a physics professor at a community college and an atheist. He had a friend who had been sharing with him about Jesus Christ and Christianity. And he invited Mark to church, the church actually that I preached at for a year and a half while I was at Bible school. And I think Mark initially went to church to confirm his own beliefs and really find the failings of the Bible and Christianity. He continued to come, though. Coming to church. In fact, he actually became very, very faithful during the time that I was there, but there was never really any indication that he had placed his faith in Jesus Christ, even though there had been several times where I had talked to him personally and several invitations right in the midst of sermons. Well, time went on. We finished Bible school. We moved here to Mesquite. And it was about 4 years after we had moved here that one of the families in the church wrote an email, a letter, just a short letter to me over email. And he told me that Mark had just been baptized. And as Mark shared his his testimony that day, he referred back to a sermon that I had preached as the time that he had trusted Christ. Now, in the year and a half that I knew Mark, I always got along with him. He would ask questions. The Lord really seemed to be prompting these questions, but again, there was never any real fruit or indication that he had professed faith in Jesus Christ. But to read that report, to get that email in that moment, here he was. He had trusted Christ 4 years ago, but I thank God. I thank God for what he had done in Mark's life. Not only through salvation, but since that point. Well, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, many students of the Bible believe that they could have spent as little as 1 month only with planting the church at Thessalonica. And then they had to leave, not knowing what would become of them. Perhaps being there so short a time that maybe they didn't see any fruit in that period of time. But then to hear a report sometime later of their faith and their love and their hope, they then write this letter in return, and they write, starting off, thanking God for what God had done in their lives. The first thing he does is thank God for them. How often, though, do we remember and thank God for the salvation or even the sanctification of others? Because that is what the opening of this letter to the Thessalonians does. Look at verse 2 again. He begins there, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." In fact, through the entirety of this letter, through the entirety of chapter 1, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, actually, they take a little stroll down memory lane concerning the salvation and sanctification of those at Thessalonica. And they open up the topic by simply thanking God for them. And so that we might learn some of the characteristics of doing the same, we're going to look at how Paul, Silas, and Timothy thank God for these Thessalonian believers. Our subject this morning is sanctification appreciation. All right, sanctification appreciation. And while those exact words do not appear in our passage, that is exactly what our passage is describing. Sanctification means to set apart for a purpose. Okay, it's actually connected to even the word holiness, to be set apart for a purpose. These Thessalonian believers were saved by God for the purpose of God. Okay? And here, God is being thanked. He's being thanked that these Thessalonians were fulfilling that purpose. Now, having looked at the opening salutation, verse 1 last week, this week we begin in verse 2. And in verse 2, we find the very first characteristic of sanctification appreciation. And here it is. They mention them perpetually. Okay, in fact, the verse puts it this way: "We give thanks to God always for you all." Now, here is what this does not mean. It does not mean that Paul, Silas, and Timothy walked around every moment of every day saying, "Thank you, Lord, for the Thessalonian believers. Thank you, Lord, for the Thessalonian believers. Thank you, Lord, for the Thessalonians." All right, that you get the point. That's not what this means. In fact, the word "always" in that verse actually means every when. Or we would say it, whenever. Whenever. There are plants that are said to be perpetual bloomers, okay? And that does not mean that they will always have a bloom or bud or flower on them. It means that they can bloom whenever. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. They can bloom at every when. Well, mentioning the Thessalonian believers always means that every time we think of you, we pray for you. And every time we pray, we think of you. We think of you. All right? You are always included in our prayers. We give thanks to God always for you all. And through a number of ways they do that. First of all, through perpetual praises to God. Through perpetual praises to God. Literally thanking God for them and their salvation at every when. You know, it's very easy for me to remember to thank God for the salvation of others right after they place their faith in Christ. It's rather easy for me to thank God even for my own salvation on even a perpetual basis. Every time I sing either version of Amazing Grace, that's what comes to mind. I think of my own salvation. But thanking God for the salvation of others, even months or years after the fact, I don't do so well. This is a good reminder for me. You see, approximately 16 years after Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church, approximately 16 years after he wrote this, he wrote a letter to Timothy, okay? One of the senders of this letter, one of his missionary buddies that helped plant this church at Thessalonica. And guess how he opens that letter that he wrote to Timothy 16 years later? Paul reminisces about Timothy's salvation and thanks God for him. Perpetual praises to God and perpetual prayers to God. Making mention of you in our prayers, the end of verse 2 says. A prayer is it's a petition to God. And here's, I think this is neat. I would imagine that the very same things that Paul, Silas, and Timothy were now thanking God for are the very same things that they had been praying for them. God was answering prayers. That's amazing to me. It shouldn't be. He does, doesn't he? But God was answering prayers. I oftentimes do well at praying for the salvation of certain individuals who yet need the Lord, that God would set them apart as his own. And I do express my emotional thanks to God upon their salvation. But 16 years later, I've still got something to be thankful for, don't I? And it's good to mention that. Another area that I sometimes forget to thank God for is the progress that has been happening in those that have trusted Christ. To thank God for where they are now as compared to where they came from. And that is the next characteristic of sanctification appreciation. It is remembering their progress. Look at verse 3. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. While these are certainly things that they had prayed for in the Thessalonian believers, here they're actually thanking God for their progress in those areas. Our daughter, Janine, and my daughter, Amanda, is now 21 years old. And for those of you that know her, you probably have noticed that she has a slight speech impediment. And as her dad, I sometimes point it out in hopes that she will try a little harder to correct it. It's basically caused really by a habit of wrongly positioning her tongue when she says a certain sound. And I know that from experience because I had a very similar speech impediment when I was young. But sometimes as I'm talking to her, I become so focused on that area that she still needs to change that I forget to be thankful for those areas in which she has progressed. That she is a pretty good communicator. That she is a pretty good teacher of God's word. And she loves to be used in those areas in spite of her speech impediment. She has grown in leaps and bounds in some very specific areas, and I need to remember to be thankful to God for that rather than focusing on those areas in which she still needs to grow and improve. And while we must pray for the spiritual growth of believers, okay, we must do that, let us not get so impatient as to forget the progress that they have made. Remember the work that God has already done in them and give thanks for it. Perhaps you have someone like that in mind right now. Thank God. Thank God for their salvation. Thank God for their progress. As we progress through this letter, we're going to find that there are a few areas in which these Thessalonian believers yet needed to grow in their understanding and maturity. But right here, Paul remembers their progress, and he's thankful for it. Paul, Silas, and Timothy had a lot to be thankful for. There is no such thing as a perfect church body, okay? Believers still have that sin nature. But this church at Thessalonica, it was exceptional. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they were doing well. And three virtues are specifically mentioned in verse 3. Paul remembered their progress and thanked God, first of all, for their work of faith. There is a connection here in verse 3 to verses below, verses 8 and 9. Here in verse 3, Paul lists their work of faith, but in verses 8 and 9, we learn what it was. Look at verses 8 and 9. It says, "For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what matter of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." As they turned from idols to faith in God, they began proclaiming the word of God. They began to serve God. And people all over the place saw their faith in God by their works. The works they did were produced by their faith in God. In fact, James 2:18 says, "I will show you my faith by my works." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship," Christ's workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus for good works." And Paul thanked God for their work produced by faith in Jesus Christ and God the Father. He remembered their progress also and thanked God for their labor of love. This too points down to the end of verse 9, to serve the living and true God. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were thankful to God that these new believers immediately recognized that God loved them so much that he gave his only begotten Son to save them from the penalty of their sin. And therefore, they, as an expression of their love in return to God, placed their faith in him and wanted to serve him. And they did so by proclaiming his word to those around them and demonstrating a changed life. A changed life. Living. Acting. Speaking. Doing those things. Saying those things that would please God rather than displease him. In John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands." If you love me, keep my commandments. And keep in mind that's not about salvation, all right? They received salvation as a free gift. This was about loving the Lord in return by serving him with their lives, doing those things, again, that please him. Remember, sanctification is being set apart by God for a purpose. Paul remembered their progress and thank God for their work of faith, their labor of love, and then thirdly, their patience of hope. Your translation might read endurance or steadfastness of hope. And this is spelled out really in verse 10. Peek there for a minute. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now we're going to look a little bit deeper into, well, a lot of these verses, beginning in verse 5 through 10 there, Lord willing, in a week or so. But here in verse 3, Paul is basically saying he is thankful that in spite of the challenges of this world, in spite of the challenges of this world, these Thessalonian believers kept their eyes on the promise of God, the promise of eternity. They steadfastly, patiently endured this world right now because of the confidence that they had in their Lord. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. These are virtues, really, that should be present in every believer. In fact, all three of these virtues have their objective and success in the Lord Jesus Christ and in God the Father, as the end of verse 3 says. These Thessalonian believers were progressing and growing spiritually because they were allowing the power of God to work in their lives, to change them, to transform them. That's sanctification. That's sanctification. Paul, Silas, and Timothy remembered their progress and were thankful. Perhaps there are those in your life whom you're praying for their spiritual growth. Well, keep doing so, but don't get so focused on what yet needs to happen in their life that we forget to thank God for their progress as well. The final characteristic of sanctification appreciation, at least from our passage here, is knowing their position. Knowing their position. Look at verse 4. It says, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Now, this is telling us that God had chosen them. He had chosen these Thessalonian believers for sanctification. They now have the position of belonging to God because God chose them. Now, this passage right here, verse 4, among other passages, okay, create a little bit of tension, perhaps even a lot of tension in our limited human minds. Because now we're kind of forced to ask the question, did God choose us? Or did we choose God for salvation? Did God choose us or did we choose God for salvation? And the tension comes because Scripture says yes to both. It says yes to both. We have passages like this one. We have passages like Ephesians 1:4 that says, He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. And then we have passages aplenty that say things like, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever believes has eternal life. And in our limited minds, we have no way of understanding that both can be true. But God does and says that both are. When our son Andrew was, I think he was turning 9 years old at the time, we got him a puppy for his birthday. And while the kids were away at school, Janine and I, we went and saw a litter of about five different puppies that were a lab mix, a mutt, okay, a mutt. And out of the five, we chose one. It was completely and utterly our choice. But as I picked up that one little puppy, it immediately licked me and then peed on me. So not only had we chose it, but it marked me as being his, okay? It became ours and we became his in the exact same moment. In fact, its response simply confirmed my choosing. That's what it did. Well, in, I'm sure, a much more divine manner, God chooses people to choose him. We are his, and he is ours for a purpose. And I'll tell you, that is a very humbling thought. That is a very humbling thought. Now, I don't know this, but imagine those other four puppies after we left were destroyed. Now, if the one puppy we took had actually reasoned this far, how thankful would he be knowing that we chose him? That we chose him. How thankful are we to be a child of God? And here in our passage, Paul is thankful to know the position of these Thessalonians. What was that position? Well, first of all, they were cherished by God. Paul calls them beloved in verse 4. And I'm sure that while Paul loved them, the actual word order in the original language points to God being the one doing the loving, the cherishing. They were beloved by God. And not only are they in the position of being beloved or cherished by God, but they are chosen by God. They belong to him. They are part of his family. And God had a purpose for them. How did Paul know that they were elect, chosen, saved? Well, we need only look at the three virtues from our second point in verse 3 again. Their work of faith. Remember, we referred back to verses 8 and 9 where it says, they turned to God from idols. They professed faith in Jesus Christ. That is the number one indicator of whether a person is chosen, elect, saved. They professed faith in Jesus Christ. They chose God by believing, trusting in his Son, Jesus Christ. And get this, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The very best way to know if you are elect is to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin. Trust in him. That's amazing to me. So their work of faith, their labor of love. Galatians 5:22 says that love is a fruit of the Spirit who dwells in every believer. And so fruit or progress, as we put it early in a believer's life, is a product of salvation. The Thessalonian believers began to serve God and proclaim his salvation and love to others. And then their patience of hope. That is, they knew that they were children of God, chosen by God, saved from the wrath to come, and promised eternal life in heaven. That right there is the position of every person who has placed his faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. 1 John 5:13 says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And Paul was thankful to know, as they did, their position in Christ. They were chosen. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, express their appreciation to God through these characteristics of mentioning them perpetually, remembering their progress and knowing their position. Oftentimes in church, we pray for the growth of other believers who need to mature. We pray for the conviction of sin that is yet in their lives. We pray that the Lord will transform them more and more into His Son's likeness. And rightly so. These are all good things to pray for. But when was the last time we set aside those known shortcomings? We set aside those things about someone that perhaps even bother us. You know, we are still sinners. We still have that sin nature. And if I haven't bothered you yet, I will. Sooner or later, there's going to be something that I do or say that's going to bother you. And I pray that when that time comes, you're thankful for me anyway. All right? And as we should be for one another. When was the last time we set aside those known shortcomings? We set aside those things about a person that perhaps even bothers us, and we just thanked God for their salvation and the growth that has occurred in them. There used to be a young lady, she's an adult now, but she was part of our youth group here at River Valley Bible Church. And she had trusted the Lord and made some progress in her growth, but really, really continued to allow the world to influence many of her opinions and actions. And Janine and I used to pray for her very regularly for her growth, her maturity, and we still do as her name comes up. But it was not too long ago that I was listening to the testimony of another person that was in our youth group at that time. And I was reminded that this young lady was actually very instrumental in leading this other person to the Lord. And it was in that moment that I was moved to set aside her shortcomings, set aside the growth that yet needed to happen in her life, and just thank God for what He has done thus far. It reminded me to pray for her more consistently. It reminded me to thank God for the progress that has taken place in her life, and it reminded me to pray for her continued spiritual growth. It reminded me, though, to thank God that not only do we know that she had placed her faith in Jesus Christ and is heaven bound, but that she knows that she has placed her faith in Jesus Christ and is heaven bound. She knew she was, I knew she was, and for that I am very thankful. Not every church body, not every believer is going to be as exceptional as what God was doing in the church at Thessalonica. However, I pray that we would desire to be. I pray that we would realize the importance of growing in the Lord. I pray that this kind of report that we're going to find here could one day be read of us. They were sanctified. They were set apart by God for a purpose. But so is every other believer, no matter how fast or how slow they are growing. And for that, we can be thankful. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father, Lord, we are thankful to you for the example of these Thessalonian believers. We thank you, Lord, that as we continue through this letter, we're going to find while they were a very exceptional church in how they were growing, they were far from perfect. They had a lot of growing yet to do, a lot of things that they did not understand. But Lord, as we read the opening of this letter and see how Paul, Silas, and Timothy address them and are just so thankful for what the Lord has done in their lives up to that point, Lord, I pray that that would remind us to do the same. Lord, Perhaps we might be thinking of a person in our lives, Lord, that we have been praying for. I pray that we wouldn't, again, just get so caught up in that. And I hate to even use that kind of word, those kinds of words, because we must continue to pray for their growth. But Lord, I pray that we would also remember to just be thankful for where they are. I pray, Lord, that we might be thankful as well for perhaps those that are ahead of us maturity-wise, perhaps even the one that led us to the Lord. And Lord, just be thankful once again for their salvation, the fact that you chose them so that your message could come to us and you could choose us as well. Lord, there's so many different ways that we could look at this. But all in all, Lord, we are just very thankful for who you are, your love toward us, your grace toward us, your mercy toward us. We thank you, Lord, for the work of faith, the labor of love, the patience of hope that we can have in you as we are used of you in this world. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.